answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel is widening its war in Lebanon and far beyond it, carrying out its deepest attack overnight in Lebanon's capital in nearly 20 years.
This Israeli strike happened in the middle of the night, and for the first time, it is not in the southern suburb of Beirut, the Hezbollah stronghold in this city, but right in the heart of the commercial district. And that has many people in this city very nervous that now no area is off limits.
Israel is hunting Hezbollah across Beirut and targeting all of Iran's militias in the Middle East. Yesterday, Israel carried out a major strike in Yemen. The port city, now in flames, is under the control of a militia called the Houthis, backed by Iran, and who've been targeting ships in the Red Sea. But Lebanon remains the main focus of Israel's expanding war.
And they have... The Houthi rebels have fired repeatedly on ships in the Red Sea, including U.S. naval vessels. But each time we've been able to knock their drones and their rockets down before they hit any of the ships. Do you see how this escalation is going? Do you see the leadership we have in the White House? No, you see exactly what the enemy sees. There is no leadership. So Israel is doing what it has to do to protect its country. And the so-called leadership here, Joe Biden, says we need a 21-day ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon. The Lebanese people are hostages to Hezbollah, just like the Palestinians were to Hamas. And Hezbollah has no intention of letting up. Now, you know, we had a report the other day for you that Israel had killed one of the Hezbollah leaders, the Hezbollah leader. I want to give you some more background on him in a moment, and this is the kind of stuff that will turn your stomach even more, because this nation has been accepting and going along ever since Obama, with the exception of Trump in place, whatever the other guys want, we will give them. All right, thanks for joining us here. We are September 30, 2024, the eve of the vice presidential debate between Vance and the comfort animal, Tim Walz. We will be doing a debate watch party live, as we told you, at Johnny's Hideout. So we really encourage you to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Christopher Arps and Speaker Tim Jones will be doing their program live from Johnny's Hideout from 4 to 6 that afternoon. And then between that time and when the debate actually starts, we'll be doing some other stuff. This program will air in its entirety, but when we wrap up, immediately we'll be going to the debate. If you can join us, great. We want to take a moment to thank our other sponsors for making this happen. Blue Sky Promotions and Apparel, Freddy's Market, Luxury Drivers STL, St. Louis Pizza and Wings in Afton, and, of course, Johnny's Hideout. The Israeli-Lebanon, Israeli-Gaza-Hamas, the Israeli battle against all of its enemies, along with what Russia and Ukraine are doing and what China's trying to ramp up and do, should be some key issues before the two candidates tomorrow. Including, of course, the invasion in our own country. That's right, the invasion of all the illegals who've come across under the Joe Biden open border policy. And the numbers are startling. I want to break them down for you before we wrap up this hour. And next hour, Sergeant Betsy Bransner-Smith from the National Police Organization will join us and tell us just how bad it is on the streets with all these illegals. As if you didn't already suspect, she'll give you some factual basis. So the death the other day of the leader of Hamas, I'm sorry, of Lebanon. Let me correct that again. Of Hezbollah. Hezbollah was killed on a strike Israel carried out inside Beirut. Once again, these cowardly leaders hide in the masses of civilians, believing that you won't come after us because you'll have too many civilians die. That is why the pager incident that Israel carried out, and of course they're not claiming responsibility, but come on, come on. You think Amazon shipped something to someone by mistake loaded with explosives? That precise attack against Hezbollah leaders was great. But as it turns out, many of the upper echelon leaders were still using the old pagers. They had not gotten their new ones yet, damn it. But those that were wearing them had their innards blown out if they had them around their waist or their eyes taken away, maybe their face if they were lifting it up to read it. And in a couple of cases, unfortunately, children were killed, as maybe that was on the table, the father instructed the child to go pick it up for them. But then the strike inside Beirut was going after the leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah. And Israel quickly reported they'd killed him. Then word came out, from Hezbollah, no, 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 he's alive, he's fine. But later they had to admit, no, he's dead. And here's someone else that was targeted because he was all inside this same group. They were all meeting together to plot more attacks on Israel. Fateh Sharif, he led Hamas actually in Lebanon. And he also worked as a UN Relief and Works Agency employee. You know what that means? Money that we give to the UN indirectly ends up funneling right into the hands of terrorists through the UN. We all know that. We've known it for some time, but this was, again, one of the chief employees of the UN Relief and Works Agency. They're the ones that come swinging in saying, oh, my God, so many civilian casualties. We need more money, more money, more money. And the casualties aren't getting it. They're getting more weapons with it. And here's another report on the plans for Israel as it moves forward.
Israel's goal, as officials have described, is to move Hezbollah back from the border. And to do that, they seem to be making it clear they don't just intend to do damage to Hezbollah forces along the border, but push them back. The typical dividing line is the Litani River, about 10 miles back from the border. So that when you have the Israeli defense minister go speak to Israeli forces now massing on the northern border and use this phrase, we will employ all the capabilities at our disposal, that's quite clear public signaling about what may very well be the next step.
And it is the next step, a ground invasion. They are on the cusp of doing that. They're softening the targets in advance and pushing them back from the main border, at least 10 miles back if they can, and then Israeli troops will be moving in. They may go in small squads. They may go in with full armored force to begin with. That's for the Israelis to decide. It could all come to a halt if Hezbollah would simply surrender and say, we will not do any more damage to Israel, but they won't do it. I want to go back to the man identified as a member of the UN. I was double-checking something because I thought I'd seen something, but he had actually been released and put on administrative leave by the UN because he was undergoing an investigation following allegations that his UN activities was really political activities to get more money for his terrorist group. Of course there were allegations. And finally somebody said, enough of that, put him on basically, what was he on? No pay leave, suspended for 3 months. And that sparked protest in Lebanon. How dare you take a member that works for us on behalf of the UN and put him to the side? The Times of Israel said, this is what the people were doing. They were out there in the street protesting, claiming that he was just a good guy trying to help out everybody. No, he was trying to kill Israelis. The unfortunate part of this, in his assassination, as it was hit by, his house was hit by a rocket, his wife and children were with him. There's another coward. He knows he's a target, and he goes and keeps his wife and children with him. There's a new report that reveals just how the Biden-Harris administration, if you want to call it that, have been destroying our nation by their open border policies. It is frightening, and it's frightening on so many levels.
The acting director of ICE just sent to Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez. On ICE's non-detained docket, they're currently tracking 425,000 non-citizens who have been convicted of a crime. Of that number, over 13,000 non-citizens have convictions for homicide and are on the non-detained docket, meaning they're roaming the country right now. On top of that, there are another 15,811 non-citizens convicted of sexual assault who are roaming the country right now on ICE's non-detained docket. People's eyes might be glazing over right now with all the numbers we just threw at you. Just to put it in a nutshell right here, what we've learned from the acting ICE director via this letter to Congressman Tony Gonzalez is right now there are over 13,000 illegal aliens convicted of homicide who are roaming the United States right now. There are another 15,811 illegal aliens roaming the country right now who have been convicted of sexual assault, and there are even more who are facing charges for homicide and charges for sexual assault. So this just goes to show, guys, the non-detained docket has exploded under the Biden administration to over, I believe it's 7.3 million. They're anticipating it could hit 8 million by the end of the year.
8 million by the end of the year. On the non-detained. Non-detained means they're not in custody. Let me quickly summarize a couple of those points. 13,000 convicted killers are on the loose in our country because they came across the southern border with the help of the Biden administration. 16,000 convicted sex offenders, many of them preying upon children and, of course, women and men, some cases, on the loose in the country. And another 425,000 are pending trial on sex charges. They're all in our country. Fox Report continues.
Vice President Harris claims that she will go even farther than President Biden to secure the border and will make it tougher to reopen it under the executive orders that he put in place last June. That restricts asylum when the average numbers of crossings eclipse a threshold of 2,500 per day over the course of a week. It only reopens when that number dips below 1,500 per day. We have not yet reached that number. And Harris is now saying that she would drop it down even lower, so create an even higher threshold to reopen the southern border. Harris is saying, though, that this is going to be part of her plan that she announced over the weekend. Listen.
Those who cross our borders unlawfully will be apprehended and removed and barred from reentering for 5 years. We will pursue more severe criminal charges against repeat violators. And if someone does not make an asylum request at a legal point of entry and instead crosses our border unlawfully, they will be barred.
Oh, my God, they will be barred from entering our country if they don't go through a port of entry. They're doing it down in the triangle countries where they're signing a parole paper, and then we fly them still in. Don't think they're stopping this. And if it's going to be a bigger change and better than what Biden was doing, what the hell have you been doing, lady, for the last almost 4 years? Trump says, we know who to thank in this case, don't we?
To all rapists, drug dealers, human traffickers, and murderers, welcome to America. It is important that you send a thank you note to Lion Kamala Harris, because without her, you would not be here. But we don't want you here, and you're going to get the hell out very soon. We're getting you out.
That is Trump talking about mass deportation. Now, I will admit I still have an issue with that. I don't know how you would accomplish it. But I will start by saying everyone has been convicted. We find their butts, and they're gone. For sure. Get them out if they've already been convicted. Or if they're here and they cause a crime, send them out again. It is very possible that this illegal immigration numbers and the ones just released by ICE are going to start shifting polls. Already there's a report out of Arizona.
A new poll in Arizona finding likely voters trust the former president, 56 to 41, over Harris to do a better job handling immigration and border security.
And in Nevada, he's also picked up points. And even in the so-called blue states, look for that to happen again because every state currently is a border state. Oh, we have reaction from ICE. You know what their reaction is to these latest numbers of, what did I say, 13,000 convicted killers on the loose? 16,000 convicted sex offenders. ICE says, those numbers are really a compilation. It's all a mess up. They gathered numbers over the last 40 years, and it's really nothing to do with the real world. You don't understand the real world. Maybe you should try saying that to the parents who have lost loved ones at the hands of illegals one way or the other, and or their children have been victims of illegals. The real world for Georgia, parts of Alabama, all the way into North Carolina, no water, no food, no cell service, no power, no gas. It's the apocalyptic aftermath of Hurricane Helene. More than 100 confirmed dead. As the water recedes, they're probably going to find more. They can't even get into some of the areas. Buildings flatten. Once they lift the debris, they might well find more. That is going to be a total mess. It'll take a long time, if ever, for the communities to fully come back. Many, of course, who had insurance and maybe some really nice property, they'll have ways to maybe try to rebuild. But the folks that are on the lower end of the income spectrum, it's going to be real difficult for them. Keep them in your prayers. Coming up, Fred Flights is going to join us, an expert on Iran. Iran is behind every battle we see going on against Israel, and we all know it. Fred's going to give us a better perspective. In the meantime, the Iranian mullah is in hiding. He knows Israel's coming after him. Everybody wants to hide. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. You know, when you're car shopping, it should be fun, not a chore. That's why when you visit Ackerman Toyota on Hampton, just south of 44, you'll enjoy the largest customer lounge to make you feel at home. You can always check AckermanToyota.com, but come enjoy the Ackerman hospitality. We'll be waiting to help you get what you want and while you're relaxing. Ackerman Toyota, number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest, we've had on numerous times before. He is an expert on the Middle East and Iran in particular, and all of it. 25-plus years in numerous intel agencies, including the CIA, House Intel, now vice chair of America First Policy Institute. Fred Flights, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, the finding that started this morning at 3 a.m. in southern Beirut, under the most intense bombardment it's seen in nearly 20 years, as Israel is making it clear we're not going to tolerate any more Hezbollah rockets from your area.
I mean, that's exactly right. Hezbollah's been firing rockets at Israel since October 8th of last year, and Israel's tried diplomacy. It's tried to not escalate, but there's no other power, no other state on earth that seems capable of convincing Hezbollah to stop these attacks. And I think Hezbollah was banking on the fact that the more they escalated, the more the U.S. would pressure Israel to de-escalate and to agree to a ceasefire.
And so that's what Biden's doing.
Israel had to do.
That's what Biden's saying. We should have a 21-day ceasefire.
And I mean, it's so frustrating because we've had this whole year of missile attacks by Hezbollah. And when was the call for a ceasefire against Hezbollah? I mean, Israelis are thinking like, you know, why are we always on the defensive when it comes to U.S. policy when we're just defending ourselves in the aftermath of the October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks?
And, of course, I saw a diagram the other day, I should say photos on it, of all the Hezbollah leaders slashed out. Then the top of Nasrallah over the – you know, just last Friday we were told he was killed. Immediately Hezbollah said, no, he's fine, if they can gather all the pieces of him.
Well, they always say that. But, you know, it was always the conventional wisdom that Israel's not going to mess with Hezbollah. It's too well-armed. It has all the support from Iran. It has all these missiles pointed at Israel. Israel has been aware of this, and it's used its intelligence to attempt to dismember Hezbollah and render it inert and really change the dynamics of power in the Middle East, because Iran really relies on Hezbollah as its main terrorist proxy.
Now, since you brought up Iran, the Iranian president came to the U.S. the other day and spoke to the U.N. and basically saying, we want all the nations here to join us in our fight in the Middle East. And, of course, here came Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and made it. And by the way, while he was actually speaking to the U.N., that's when those first attacks began against Beirut by Israel. I thought it was fascinating.
I'm sort of wondering whether the Israelis tricked the Hezbollah leader, thinking maybe Hezbollah thought that Israel's not going to attack us while Hezbollah's in New York at the U.N. I don't know that, but I've heard people speculate about that.
I wondered, yeah.
Now, so we have this Iranian president claiming he wants peace and he would like to start some type of process to normalize relations with the United States. We have heard this before. The shots are called by Supreme Leader Khamenei. He has not changed. And we know that Iranian presidents who are not in charge say a lot of things that do not reflect Iranian policy. Their nuclear program continues. They're still sponsoring terrorism. I don't think there's been any significant change.
Well, I do note one change. It appears that most of the leaders that are still alive are deep in hiding.
Iranian leaders.
Yes.
The word is that Khamenei is in some undisclosed underground bunker because they're afraid that the Israelis would try to take out Iranian leaders. Yeah, now, Israel hasn't shown an indication it's going to do that, but Netanyahu has made it clear that they can strike anywhere in Iran. So I think, well, you know, what happened in taking out Nasrallah in Beirut was really shocking to Hezbollah and to Iran. So they're not taking any chances.
Well, and yet they're going to continue to mouth off. They'll continue to use people that are fed upon their Fatah, I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing it, to simply wipe out all Jews, all Americans, all the Western world, even if they have no head at the snake. They're not stopping.
I don't think Iran's going to stop, but I'm hoping that we can have a new arrangement in Lebanon. Most of the Lebanese don't like Hezbollah.
Right.
They've committed all unspeakable violence. They've made the country unstable for decades. And if this organization has its back broken, that, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, very cautious, that there may be a new way ahead for Lebanon, but, you know, we're not there yet.
And, of course, then again this morning, once again, more airstrikes into Lebanon, supposedly preparing, softening the area for a ground invasion, or at least incursions in small squads, if nothing else.
Well, there's an area in southern Lebanon between the Litani River and the Israel-Lebanon border that Hezbollah agreed would not put their military forces or missiles there, and a settlement agreed to in 2006. Hezbollah never complied with that agreement and has put more and more military hardware and missiles and rockets in that area, and I think Israel wants to clean it out.
Is that the Bekaa Valley? Is that the way it's pronounced along the border with Syria?
It's near it.
So that has also been hit, apparently, because of some of those areas. They've got some in there. In the meantime, as usual, and I do agree and understand that's a humanitarian effort for the civilians, the people of Lebanon, that they've been told by Israel already said, just as they did with the Palestinians, move north, get away from the border, because that's where we're coming in. And those that have been allowed to leave probably did. But obviously there's still many civilians caught in the midst, and the Doctors Without Borders warning the humanitarian needs are outpacing the capacity of any aid agencies as the folks are struggling to leave their homes and find shelter.
Well, for decades, Hezbollah has been paying civilians in southern Lebanon to store missiles and rockets in their homes, and have used their homes as missile hangars to attack Israel. Israel knows this. It's been tracking these where these missiles and rockets are being stored, and has warned civilians, we're going to take these missiles and rockets out. It's a tragedy that these civilians are stuck between Israel and Hezbollah there. So Israel gave these civilians fair warning. I hope they get out of the way.
And I wonder how many of those civilians really didn't want the rockets there, but what are your options?
I bet many of them didn't want them there, but what are you going to do when Hezbollah comes knocking? It's not the money. It's basically a group you don't want to say no to.
Yeah. And then, of course, we had Israel start striking at the Houthis. I love that part also.
Well, the Houthis decided to chime in with firing a missile at Israel recently, and the Israelis responded with an enormous airstrike on a port held by the Houthis with energy facilities. And this is a port that the Iranians used to send weapons into Yemen. It's the second time the Israelis have taken this step. It's very different from prior attacks on Yemen by U.S. and British troops, where we were trying to limit civilian casualties. And a couple of instances, we told the Houthis before we bombed, which gave them an opportunity to move their weapons out of various warehouses we were going to hit.
Now, to that extent, Iran is watching all this, and Hezbollah, as you pointed out earlier, is their main weapon of their proxy battles. What's Iran going to do next, or what can it do at this point?
I think Iran is regrouping. I don't think Iran has given up. It is still sponsoring terrorist groups. It does not only sponsor Hezbollah, but I think it's taking a step back and looking at its options. It hasn't stopped its nuclear program, its missile program. This needs to be finished with a strong American president who will put maximum pressure sanctions on Iran to change their approach and to force them to stop the sponsorship of terrorism and these provocations in the region. That's obviously not going to happen under Joe Biden.
No.
Or Kamala Harris.
No, it won't. No, it won't. And in fact, we've been giving them money. We continued to allow them to make money. And yet, we see what they're doing in the process. I did see a quote that I want to share with you, that an elderly woman who got displaced by Israeli airstrikes in southern Lebanon after they'd gone after Nasrallah and his group and got all of them, she said, would they really do this? Would they really go after him? And I don't know if she's speaking incredulous that they would actually target him or, you know, how dare, but I mean, obviously she's one of these innocent victims caught in the midst of this.
I think the region's just stunned. Nasrallah is dead. He was a larger-than-life individual. He's on TV all the time, making, you know, videos with fanatic sermons urging his people to resist and to fight against Israel. The fact that their security was so poor and Israel's intelligence is so superior is why this came about. And, you know, people will be writing about this for a long time, about how the Israelis caught Nasrallah. And I think they used bunker buster bombs, and they knew exactly where it was.
Yeah, 2,000-pound-plus bombs, we're being told. And in the meantime, how many do you think they're getting inside dissidents to start working with them?
I think, you know, the extent of Israeli intelligence is phenomenal. Hezbollah is not well-loved in Lebanon, so I think there's a lot of sources, there's a lot of drones, there's a lot of electronic surveillance. That's why Hezbollah turned to pagers and radios, thinking that these simple devices would keep them safe from Israel.
And they were effective. Fred Flights, America First Policy Institute, as always, thank you for your time, sir.
Great to be here.
You bet. Coming up, you ready to give up your First Amendment? Hillary Clinton is pushing it, and others.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct, priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most 5-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh,
ooh, ooh. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The press needs a consistent narrative. I mean, the press that's not supporting Trump blatantly, very
not doing it at all
persistently.
Good God.
The press that's trying to be the press, be objective, be, you know, reporting the facts. The press needs a consistent narrative about the danger that Trump poses. Because, you know.
I want to come back to that in a moment. But, I mean, there was Hillary Clinton talking about the press isn't really doing its job. They need a constant narrative about the dangers Trump poses. That means you're telling them what to write. Look, you want to write a story about me, and I may not like some of the wording, and I tell you how to rewrite it and redo it. Well, then it's no longer your story. It becomes mine. You become my propaganda machine. And that is what the state-controlled media has been for the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, and the rest of them. And they're getting additional help. We've been watching this story all since last summer, reporting on it, telling you about it. St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Joe Holloman picked up the story in some of our latest comments in advance of the FCC looking at the plan for the Soros Fund Management, George Soros, to take over hundreds of stations across the nation. It involved taking over Odyssey, which has two stations in St. Louis that are very big. One where Rush Limbaugh did broadcast for a while, and I had said on the air, once he takes over, they will, even if Rush had been alive, were still alive, they would take him off the air immediately. Because Soros does not want conservative talk. That means infringement of your First Amendment immediately. With the help now of the FCC, which voted 3-2 along party line votes, coming early today, to agree that Soros can help Odyssey come out of their bankruptcy and Soros can become the controlling interest holder in that company. And, of course, the Republicans on board the FCC, Brendan Carr, Nate Semington, obviously disapproving because he's got so many ties to liberal and Democrat causes. It'd be one thing if he just was a guy like he wants to buy it and change things up, but he's entitled to do that. That's what free enterprise and marketing is all about. The Odyssey's debtor in possession forbearance agreement, bunch of mumble jumble basically, meant they're going to close the door and lock you out, was to expire today. They'd already been granted one extension back in August by a Houston-based judge, but now they're able to proceed. So after 7 months, George Soros will now have control of all news stations such as KMOX in St. Louis, 97.1, KNX LA, KCBS San Francisco, WBBM Chicago, WINS New York, KYW in their hometown of Philadelphia. And then there will be others. The Media Research Center was trying to keep that from happening. That is a conservative watchdog group. The commission determined, we find that the MRC fails to demonstrate it has standing in this proceeding. They have standing on the fact of First Amendment. Because we know what Soros is going to do. You know, if he wants to run Mickey Mouse cartoons on all those stations, I could care less. But he's going to those stations, and they will make sure that no content that comes anywhere near conservative and certainly anti-liberal will ever cross those airwaves again once he has full control. I know people at these stations, and I care about them. I worry about their lives and their families and their futures because under his thumb, you're either going to do it my way or it's the highway, and I fear many of them will be dropped. They've got minions ready to rush in and take over every position, and they're all going to be gay transplants from somewhere. And then you got John Kerry over the weekend, speaking at the World Economic Forum. Actually, it was last week, just had time to get to it. During a panel on green energy, the former Secretary of State was asked, what can be done to stop disinformation? Now, he's talking about the internet, but that means from basically any source that has things that claim there is no such thing as climate disaster looming, that you guys are making all this up. John Kerry immediately jumped on it and listened closely as he brings up the First Amendment.
And I think the dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. You know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
Yeah. He's not talking about winning votes. He's talking about making sure we have the control. They don't plan on winning votes. They'll buy votes. They'll find some other ways to get them. But he made it very clear. Look, if you have only one source and the source you go to is sick, it has an agenda. They're putting out disinformation. That is every leftist organization that exists in the media. And those that say they're good and fair, such as CBS getting ready to host tomorrow night's debate, and yet they have a record of constantly being anti-Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump. Leslie Stahl in her 60-minute interview with Trump, remember? He starts talking about this issue and that issue. No, that's not right, Mr. President. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. And she was wrong on every point she raised. So what he says, what we need to do is win the ground. Social media response was quick on what he said. One wrote, Lurch doesn't seem happy that his gatekeepers are no longer the only source of information these days. That would be because Musk took over Twitter. And then one other one commented, what a piece of garbage. This is exactly why we have the First Amendment. So let's go back to Hillary Clinton, where she's saying what we need to do is have a media that, well, they need to do the goose step and follow my orders.
The press needs a consistent, the press that's not supporting Trump blatantly, very persistently. The press that's trying to be the press, be objective, reporting the facts, the press needs a consistent narrative about the danger that Trump poses.
She is so far out every time she brings that up. And she's got willing members of the press that sit there and let her say that without challenging her. She's entitled to her opinion and say what she wants. But legitimate news organizations would question her and go after her. You know what happens when you speak out against the establishment? Tulsi Gabbard has a very interesting story of what happened shortly after she became a congresswoman.
President Obama made an announcement that he wanted to seek authorization from Congress to go and start another regime change war in the Middle East, this time in Syria. I was on the Foreign Affairs Committee at the time. Again, I'd been in Congress maybe 6 months, freshman Democrat. I did my due diligence. I announced that I would be opposing President Obama's request to go and start another war. And in less than 24 hours, I got a call from the White House. And it wasn't a call saying, hey, Tulsi, we just wanted to see what questions you had or figure out why you opposed this so strongly. What they said was, how dare you? How dare you stand against your president? How dare you stand against, as a freshman Democrat, your president who is from your home state of Hawaii? They didn't care about the substance. They didn't care about the experiences that I was bringing and the voices that I was bringing to light of those who I served alongside and those who were killed in combat and never came home. This speaks to the dangerous mindset of today's Democrat Party, which is one of the main reasons why I left.
And hopefully that's why more will walk away from it. But on the other side of this evil plot to strip us of our First Amendment rights and punish those who get in the way, which is all the next step and step and step, I want you to hear from some young college students who might, God willing, be the key to truly protecting our democracy. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I'm honored to tell you that the Cafe Napoli family is growing. That means you're going to have more locations to enjoy the Napoli experience. The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. So you have Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2, Town and Country, Napoli 3, St. Charles, right next door, Napoli C, and don't forget Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley, plus soon, Napoli Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In Prairie du Chien, and you can see they are proudly displaying the words Trump 24 on their shirts. Now, tell me a little bit, Tom, about what it took for you to get here today.
So I'm from Prairie du Chien originally, and these are all my college friends from lacrosse. And we came down at 2 a.m., ran by my house, got here at 4. We slept on the ground outside my high school, and we got the idea to spray paint Trump 24 on these shirts. And we're here now and ready to get inside and see Trump.
Why do you want President Trump in office?
We're all about to buy houses and buy cars, and inflation is crazy. Like, we're growing up, and we don't know what to do. We gotta live and find a way to make money, and it's hard.
It's hard, and those kids aren't asking for handouts. They just want the opportunity. They were gathering in advance of Trump and a point in Wisconsin. I love it. I love the fact that they're making their voices heard. I would be fine if someone would be there and call out for Kamala. That's fine. It's freedom of speech. But I take a lot of faith and hope in that you've got a bunch of students saying, you know, let's just go down there and show where we stand. And then I want to share something else with you. As you know, actor James Woods, he is one of the most conservative that makes his voice heard often out of Hollywood. He picked up a piece off of Twitter. I don't know who this young woman is or her source or any background. It's a young white woman. But she's giving her view of what this government is trying to do to you and in how and what ways they might try. Please listen.
I don't know why I'm going to fight so hard to maintain my right to bear arms, because a rock in the hands of a bad person killed Abel, and a rock in the hands of a good person killed Goliath. It was never about the rock. And honestly, this country has already gone way too far putting regulations on a right. You either have a right or you don't. And regulations, which y'all call control, gun control isn't for the gun, it's for control. And that is the control of you, because that gun cannot do anything. It is a tool. Gun control is to control you.
That is as simple and direct as it can be. And everything else they're doing, like the George Soros we were talking about earlier, is to control you. I'm going to spend more time on the George Soros story in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. And also about the invasion inside our land with Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith from the National Police Organization. But a word here from Hillary Clinton before we go. You're going to love this. As usual, I need to warn you that if you're driving your car, please do not lose control. I don't want you to say, well, I was listening to Larry Connors, USA, and he said something. I got so angry, I just drove off the road. Don't do that, please. Take it easy. Keep yourself calm. She is warning of an October surprise. Hillary Clinton is warning of one. My thought of an October surprise is that Biden will pardon Hunter and immediately step aside and let Kamala run as President Kamala Harris against Trump in the closing weeks. Hillary is saying there will be concerted efforts to distort and pervert Kamala Harris, who she is and what she stands for and what she's done. Oh, my God. I want to hear what she's done, but that would be a distortion if you report the facts. And she said a lot of dangerous stuff may start online on the dark web and then migrates picked up by the pro-Trump media, then reported by everybody else. Make sure 100% coverage and people believe it. She still believes she should have won the election, you know, against Obama. Let her start with that. Let her resolve that somewhere in the dark corners of her mind. Bill, you said you would make me sure I would win. She did not win. You do not want to miss our second hour. Make sure your family and friends are with us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.